Rush, band, from Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia, at en.wikipedia.org. Rush is a Canadian rock band originally formed in August 1968 in the Willowdale neighborhood of Toronto, Ontario, currently composed of bassist, keyboardist, and lead vocalist Geddy Lee, guitarist Alex Lifeson, and drummer and lyricist Neil Peart. The band and its membership went through a number of reconfigurations between 1968 and 1974, achieving their definitive form when Neil Peart replaced original drummer John Rutsey in July 1974, 2 weeks before the group's first U.S. tour. Since the release of the band's self-titled debut album in March 1974, Rush has become known for the instrumental skills of its members, complex compositions, and eclectic lyrical motifs drawing heavily on science fiction, fantasy, and libertarian philosophy, as well as addressing humanitarian, social, emotional, and environmental concerns. Musically, Rush's style has evolved over the years, beginning in the vein of blues-inspired heavy metal on their first albums, then encompassing hard rock, progressive rock, a period dominated by synthesizers, and, more recently, modern rock. They have influenced various musical artists, including Metallica, The Smashing Pumpkins, and Primus, as well as progressive metal bands such as Dream Theater and Symphony X. Rush has won a number of Juno Awards, and was inducted into the Canadian Music Hall of Fame in 1994. Over the course of their careers, the individual members of Rush have been acknowledged as being some of the most proficient players on their respective instruments, with each band member winning several awards in magazine readers' polls. As a group, Rush possesses 24 gold records and 14 platinum, 3 multi-platinum records. According to the RIAA, Rush's sales statistics place them fourth behind the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, and Aerosmith for the most consecutive gold or platinum albums by a rock band. Rush also ranks 78th in U.S. album sales with 25 million units. Although total worldwide album sales are not calculated by any single entity, as of 2004, several industry sources estimated Rush's total worldwide album sales at over 40 million units. The band recently finished promoting their latest album, Snakes and Arrows, with an intercontinental tour. The second leg began in San Juan, Puerto Rico on April 11th and ended on July 24th, 2008 in Noblesville, Indiana. Image: Alex Lifeson, Geddy Lee, and Neil Peart of Rush, 30th Anniversary Tour Photo, 2004. Contents. 1. History. 1.1. The Early Years, 1968-1976. 1.2. The Progressive Rock Era, 1977-1981. 1.3. The Synthesizer Period, 1982-1989. 1.4. Returning to Their Roots, 1989-1997. 1.5. Hiatus and Comeback, 1997-2005. 1.6. Snakes and Arrows, 2006 to present. 2. Musical Style and Influences. 3. Band Members. 3.1. Former Members. 4. Reputation. 4.1. Geddy Lee. 4.2. Alex Lifeson. 4.3. Neil Peart. 4.3.1. Music. 4.3.2. Lyrics. 5. Sales. 6. Live Performances. 7. Philanthropy. 8. Discography. 8.1. Studio Albums. 9. See Also. 10. References. 11. Further Reading. 11.1. Books. 11.2. Scholarly Articles. 12. External Links. Section 1. History. For more details on this topic, see History of Rush. 1.1. The Early Years, 1968 to 1976. The original lineup formed in the neighborhood of Willowdale in Toronto, Ontario, by Lifeson, frontman Jeff Jones, and drummer John Retzi. Within a couple weeks of forming, and before their second performance, bassist and lead vocalist Jones was replaced by Geddy Lee, a schoolmate of Lifeson. After several lineup reformations, Rush's official incarnation was formed in May 1971, consisting of Lee, Lifeson, and Retzi. The band was managed by local Toronto resident Ray Daniels, a frequent attendee of Rush's early shows. After gaining stability in the lineup and honing their skills on the local bar high school dance circuit, the band came to release their first single, Not Fade Away, a cover of the Buddy Holly song, in 1973. Side B contained an original composition, You Can't Fight It, credited to Retzi and Lee. The single generated little reaction and, due to record company indifference, the band formed their own independent record label, Moon Records. With the aid of Daniels and the newly enlisted engineer, Terry Brown, the band released their self-titled debut album in 1974, which was considered highly derivative of Led Zeppelin. Rush had limited vocal popularity until the album was picked up by WMMS, a radio station in Cleveland, Ohio. Donna Halper, a DJ and music director working at the station, selected Working Man for her regular playlist. The song's blue-collar theme resonated with hard rock fans, and this newfound popularity led to the album being re-released by Mercury Records in the US. Immediately after the release of the first album, Retzi resigned in July 1974 due to his affliction with diabetes and a distaste for touring. Rush held auditions and eventually selected Neil Peart as Retzi's replacement. Peart officially joined the band on July 29, 1974, 2 weeks before the group's first U.S. tour. They performed their first concert together, opening for Uriah Heep and Manfred Mann with an attendance of over 11,000 people at the Civic Arena in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania on August 14th. In addition to becoming the band's drummer, Peart assumed the role of principal lyricist, as Lee and Lifeson had very little interest in writing, contributing to only a handful of song lyrics over the rest of the band's career. Instead, they focused primarily on the musical aspects of Rush. Fly By Night, 1975, Rush's first album after recruiting Peart, saw the inclusion of the band's first epic mini-tale, Bytor and the Snow Dog, replete with complex arrangements and multi-section format. Lyrical themes also underwent dramatic changes after the addition of Peart due to his love for fantasy and science fiction literature. However, despite these many differences, some of the music and songs still closely mirrored the blues style found on Rush's debut. Following quickly on the heels of Fly By Night, the band released 1975's Caress of Steel, a 5-track hard rock album featuring 2 extended multi-chapter songs, The Necromancer and The Phantom of Lamneth. Caress of Steel was reported by some critics to be unfocused and an audacious move for the band due to the placement of 2 protracted numbers back-to-back, as well as heavier reliance on atmospherics and storytelling, a large deviation from Fly By Night. Intended to be the band's first breakthrough album, Caress of Steel sold below expectations, and the promotional tour consisted of small venues, which led to the moniker the Down the Tubes Tour. In light of these events, Rush's record label pressured them into molding their next album in a more commercially friendly and accessible fashion. However, the band ignored the requests and developed their next album, 2112. It was the band's first taste of commercial success and their first platinum album in Canada. The supporting tour for the album culminated in a 3-night stand at Massey Hall in Toronto, which the band recorded for the release of their first live album, titled All the World's a Stage. All Music Guide critic Greg Prato summarily reminds listeners and fans of how the album demarcates the boundary between the band's early years and the next era of their music. Image. The Starman logo first appeared on the back cover of the 1976 album 2112. Hugh Sun, creator of graphics on many of Rush's albums, stated that the Starman didn't begin as an entity factor for the band, it just got adopted, in a 1983 interview. 1.2. The Progressive Rock Era, 1977 to 1981. After 2112, Rush retreated to the United Kingdom to record 1977's A Farewell to Kings and 1978's Hemispheres at Rockfield Studios in Wales. These albums saw the band members expanding their use of progressive elements in their music. Trademarks such as increased synthesizer usage, extended-length concept songs, and highly dynamic playing featuring complex time signature changes became a staple of Rush's compositions. To achieve a broader, more progressive palette of sound, Alex Lifeson began to experiment with classical and 12-string guitars, and Geddy Lee added bass pedal synthesizers and mini-moog. Likewise, Peart's percussion became diversified in the form of triangles, glockenspiel, wood blocks, cowbells, timpani, gong, and chimes. Beyond instrument additions, the band kept in stride with progressive rock movement by continuing to compose long, conceptual songs with science fiction and fantasy overtones. However, as the new decade approached, Rush gradually began to dispose of their older styles of music in favor of shorter and sometimes softer arrangements. The lyrics up to this point, most of them written by Peart, were heavily influenced by classical poetry, fantasy literature, science fiction, and the writings of novelist Ayn Rand, as exhibited most prominently by their 1975 song Anthem from Fly By Night, and a specifically acknowledged derivation in 1976's 2112. Permanent Waves, 1980, shifted Rush's style of music dramatically via the introduction of reggae and new wave. Although a hard rock style was still evident, more and more synthesizers were introduced. Moreover, due to the limited airplay Rush's previous extended-length songs received, Permanent Waves included shorter, more radio-friendly songs such as The Spirit of Radio and Free Will, two songs which helped Permanent Waves become Rush's first U.S. Top 5 album. Both songs continued to make appearances on classic rock radio stations in Canada and the United States to this day. Meanwhile, Peart's lyrics shifted toward an expository tone, with subject matter that dwelt less on fantastical or allegorical storytelling, and more heavily on cerebral topics that explore humanistic, social, emotional, and metaphysical elements. Rush's popularity reached its pinnacle with the release of Moving Pictures in 1981. Moving Pictures essentially continued where Permanent Waves left off, extending the trend of highly accessible and commercially friendly pop progressive rock that helped thrust them into the spotlight. The lead track, Tom Sawyer, is probably the band's best-known song, with Limelight also receiving satisfactory responses from listeners and radio stations. Moving Pictures was Rush's last album to feature an extended song, the 10.5-minute The Camera Eye. The song also contained the band's heaviest usage of synthesizers up to that point, hinting that Rush's music was shifting direction once more. Moving Pictures reached number 3 on the Billboard 200 album chart and has been certified quadruple platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. Following the success of Moving Pictures and the completion of another 4 studio albums, Rush released their second live recording, Exit Stage Left, in 1981. The album delineates the apex of Rush's progressive period by featuring live material from the band's Permanent Waves and Moving Pictures tours. As with their first live release, Exit Stage Left identified the margin of a new chapter of Rush's sound. The band underwent another radical stylistic transmutation with the release of Signals in 1982. 1.3. The Synthesizer Period, 1982 to 1989. Image. The OBX synthesizer used by Geddy Lee on the album Signals, 1982. While Lee's synthesizers had been featured instruments ever since the late 70s, keyboards were suddenly shifted from the contrapuntal background to the melodic front lines, as evidenced by songs such as Countdown and the lead-off track Subdivisions. Both feature nimble lead synthesizer lines with minimalistic guitar chords and solos. Other previously unused instrument additions were seen in the song Losing It, featuring collaborator Ben Mink on electric violin. Signals also represented a drastic stylistic transformation apart from instrumental changes. The album contained Rush's only US top 40 pop hit, New World Man, while other more experimental songs such as Digital Man, The Weapon, and Chemistry expanded the band's use of ska, reggae, and funk. Although the band members consciously decided to move in this overall direction, they felt dissatisfied with longtime producer Terry Brown's studio treatment of Signals and parted ways with him in 1983. These diverse styles would come into further play on their next studio album. The style and production of Signals were augmented and taken to new heights on 1984's Grace Under Pressure. It was Peart who named the album, as he borrowed the words of Ernest Hemingway to describe what the band had to go through after making the decision to leave Terry Brown. Producer Steve Lillywhite, who gleaned fame with successive productions of Simple Minds and U2, was enlisted to produce Grace Under Pressure. However, he backed out at the last moment, much to the ire of Lee, Lifeson, and Peart. Lee said, "Steve Lillywhite is really not a man of his word. After agreeing to do our record, he got an offer from Simple Minds, changed his mind, blew us off. So it put us in a horrible position." Eventually, Rush hired Peter Henderson to co-produce and engineer the album in his stead. Musically, although Lee's use of sequencers and synthesizers remained the band's cornerstone, his focus on new technology was complemented by Peart's adaptation of Simmons' electronic drums and percussion. Lifeson's contributions on the album were decidedly enhanced to act as an overreaction to the minimalistic role he played on Signals. Still, many of his trademark guitar textures remained intact in the form of open reggae chords and funk and new wave rhythms. Distant Warning, Red Lenses, Red Sector A, and The Enemy Within serve as prime examples. Image. Neil Peart began incorporating Simmons electronic drums beginning with 1984's Grace Under Pressure. With new producer Peter Collins, the band released 1985's Power Windows and 1987's Hold Your Fire. The music on these two albums gives far more emphasis and prominence to Lee's multi-layered synthesizer work. While fans and critics took notice of Lifeson's diminished guitar work, his presence was still palpable on The Big Money, the album's modest charting single, with spotlights on Grand Designs, Middletown Dreams, and Marathon. Lifeson, like many guitarists in the late 1980s, experimented with processors that produced his instrument to echoey chord bursts and razor-thin leads. Hold Your Fire represents both a modest extension of the guitar stylings found on Power Windows, and, according to AllMusic critic Ed Rivadavia, the culmination of this era of Rush. Whereas the previous five Rush albums sold platinum or better, Hold Your Fire only went gold in November 1987, although it managed to peak at number 13 on the Billboard 200. A third live album and video, A Show of Hands, 1989, was also released by Mercury following the Power Windows and Hold Your Fire tours, demonstrating the aspects of Rush in the 80s. A Show of Hands met with strong fan approval, but Rolling Stone critic Michael Azarad dismissed it as musical muscle with 1.5 stars, claiming Rush fans viewed their favorite power trio as the Holy Trinity. Nevertheless, A Show of Hands managed to surpass the gold album mark, reaching number 21 on the Billboard 200. At this point, the group decided to change record labels from Mercury to Atlantic. After Rush's departure in 1989, Mercury released a double platinum, two-volume compilation of their Rush catalog, Chronicles, 1990. 1.4. Returning to Their Roots, 1989 to 1997. Rush started to deviate from their 1980s style with the albums Presto and Roll the Bones. Produced by record engineer and musician Rupert Hine, these two albums saw Rush shedding much of their keyboard-saturated sound. Beginning with 1989's Presto, the band opted for arrangements that were notably more guitar-centric than the previous two studio albums. Although synthesizers were still used in many songs, the instrument was no longer featured as the centerpiece of Rush's compositions. Continuing this trend, 1991's Roll the Bones extended the use of the standard three-instrument approach with even less focus on synthesizers than its predecessor. While musically these albums do not deviate significantly from a general pop-rock sound, Rush stuck to their creative approach of incorporating traces of more exotic musical styles. Roll the Bones, for instance, exhibits funk and hip-hop elements, and the instrumental track Where's My Thing features several jazz components. This return to three-piece instrumentation helped pave the way for future albums in the mid-90s, which would adopt a more straightforward rock formula. The transition from synthesizers to more guitar-oriented and organic instrumentation continued with the 1993 album Counterparts and its follow-up, 1996's Test for Echo, again both produced in collaboration with Peter Collins. Musically, Counterparts and Test for Echo are two of Rush's most guitar-driven albums. Although the music in general did not meet the criteria for progressive rock, some of the songs could be considered more adventurous than what one might expect from a standard modern rock band. For instance, Time and Motion possesses multiple time signature changes and organ usage, while the instrumental track Limbo consists of several relatively complex musical passages repeated throughout. Musically, Test for Echo still retained much of the band's hard rock alternative style already charted on the previous record. Lifeson and Lee's playing remained more or less unchanged. However, a distinct modification in technique became apparent in Peart's playing due to formal jazz and swing training under the tutelage of jazz instructor Freddie Gruber during the interim between Counterparts and Test for Echo. In October 1996, in support of Test for Echo, the band embarked on an extensive and successful North American tour, the band's first without an opening act and dubbed An Evening with Rush. The tour was broken up into two segments spanning October through December 1996 and May through July 1997, with the band taking a respite between legs. 1.5. Hiatus and Comeback, 1997 to 2005. After wrapping up the tour promoting Test for Echo in 1997, the band entered a 5-year hiatus, mainly due to personal tragedies in Peart's life. Peart's daughter Selena died in an automobile accident in August 1997, followed by his wife Jacqueline's death from cancer in June 1998. Peart took a hiatus to mourn and reflect, during which time he traveled extensively throughout North America on his BMW motorcycle, covering 88,000 kilometers, 55,000 miles. At some point in his journey, Peart decided to return to the band. Peart wrote Ghost Rider, Travels on the Healing Road as a chronicle of his geographical and emotional journey. In this book, he writes of how he had told his bandmates at Selena's funeral, "Consider me retired." On November 10th, 1998, a triple CD live album entitled Different Stages was released, dedicated to the memory of Selena and Jacqueline. Mixed by producer Paul Northfield and engineered by Terry Brown, It contained three discs packed with recorded performances from the band's counterparts, Text for Echo, and A Farewell to Kings tours, marking the fourth officially released live album by the band. After a time to grieve and reassemble the pieces of his life, and while visiting longtime Rush photographer Andrew McNaughton in Los Angeles, Peart was introduced to his future wife, photographer Carrie Nuttall. Peart married Nuttall on September 9, 2000. In early 2001, he announced to his bandmates that he was ready to once again enter the studio and get back into the business of making music. With the help of producer Paul Northfield, the band returned in May 2002 with Vapor Trails, written and recorded in Toronto. To herald the band's comeback, the single and lead track from the album, One Little Victory, was designed to grab the attention of listeners due to its rapid guitar and drum tempos. Vapor Trails marked the first studio recording not to include a single synthesizer, organ, or keyboard part since the early 1970s. While the album is almost completely guitar-driven, it is mostly devoid of any conventional-sounding guitar solos, a conscious decision made by Lifeson during the writing process. According to the band, the entire developmental process for Vapor Trails was extremely taxing and took approximately 14 months to finish, by far the longest the band had ever spent writing and recording a studio album. The album debuted to moderate praise and was supported by the band's first tour in 6 years, including first-ever concerts in Mexico City and Brazil, where they played to some of the largest crowds of their career. A triple CD live album and duo Rush and Rio DVD was released in late October 2003, featuring an entire concert performance recorded on the last night of their Vapor Trails tour, November 23, 2002, at Maracana Stadium in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. To celebrate their 30th anniversary, June 2004 saw the release of Feedback, a studio EP recorded in suburban Toronto, featuring 8 covers of such artists as Cream, The Who, and The Yardbirds, bands that the members of Rush cite as inspiration around the time of their inception. Also in the summer of 2004, Rush hit the road again for the very successful 30th anniversary tour, playing dates in the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, Germany, Italy, Sweden, the Czech Republic, and the Netherlands. On September 24, 2004, a Frankfurt, Germany concert was recorded at the Festhalle for DVD, titled R30 Live in Frankfurt, which was released November 22, 2005. 1.6 Snakes and Arrows, 2006 to present. Main articles: Snakes and Arrows, and Snakes and Arrows Tour. During promotional interviews for the R30 Live in Frankfurt DVD, the band revealed their intention to begin writing new material in early 2006. While in Toronto, Lifeson and Lee began the songwriting process in January 2006. During this time, Peart simultaneously assumed his role of lyric writing while residing in Southern California. The following September, Rush chose to hire American producer Nick Maskulinex to co-produce the album. The band officially entered Allaire Studios in Shokan, New York in November 2006 in order to record the bulk of the material. Taking the band 5 weeks, the sessions ended in December. On February 14, 2007, an announcement was made on the official Rush website that the title of the new album would be Snakes and Arrows. The first single, entitled Far Cry, was released to North American radio stations on March 12, 2007, and reached number 2 on the media-based mainstream and radio and records charts. The Rush website, newly redesigned on March 12 to support the new album, also announced that the band would embark on a tour to begin in the summer. Snakes and Arrows was released May 1, 2007 in North America, where it debuted at number 3 in the Billboard 200 with approximately 93,000 units sold in the first week. To coincide with the Atlantic Ocean hurricane season, Spindrift was released as the official second radio signal on June 1, 2007, whereas The Larger Bowl, a Pantoum, saw single status on June 25, 2007. The Larger Bowl positioned within the top 20 of the mainstream rock and media-based mainstream charts, However, Spindrift failed to appear on any commercial chart. The planned intercontinental tour in support of Snakes and Arrows began on June 13, 2007, in Atlanta, Georgia, coming to a close on October 29, 2007, at Hartwall Arena in Helsinki, Finland. The 2008 portion of the tour started on April 11, 2008, in San Juan, Puerto Rico, at Jose Miguel Agrelo Coliseum, and culminated on July 24, 2008 in Noblesville, Indiana, at the Verizon Wireless Music Center. On April 15th, the band released Snakes and Arrows Live, a double live album documenting the first leg of the tour. Those same performances featured on Snakes and Arrows Live, filmed at the Ahoy Arena in Rotterdam, Netherlands, on October 16th and 17th of 2007, was released November 24th as a DVD and Blu-ray set, which also includes footage from the 2008 portion of the tour, recorded at Verizon Wireless Amphitheater in Atlanta. As the band neared the conclusion of their Snakes and Arrows tour, they announced their first appearance on American television in over 30 years. Rush was interviewed by Stephen Colbert, and they performed Tom Sawyer on The Colbert Report on July 16, 2008. Section 2. Musical Style and Influences. Rush's musical style has changed substantially over the years. Their debut album is strongly influenced by British blues rock, an amalgam of sounds and styles from such rock bands as Cream, Led Zeppelin, and Deep Purple. Over the first few albums, their style remained essentially hard rock, with heavy influences from The Who and Led Zeppelin, but also became increasingly influenced by the British progressive rock movement. In the tradition of progressive rock, Rush wrote protracted songs with irregular and multiple time signatures, combined with fantasy science fiction-inspired lyrics. However, they did not soften their sound. This fusion of hard and progressive rock continued until the end of the 1970s. In the 1980s, however, Rush successfully merged their sound with the trends of this period, experimenting with new wave, reggae, and pop rock. This period included the band's most extensive use of instruments such as synthesizers, sequencers, and electronic percussion. It is largely agreed that the culmination of this era of Rush was in 1987 after the release of Hold Your Fire. With the approach of the early 90s and Rush's character sound still intact, the band transformed their style once again to harmonize with the alternative rock movement. The new millennium has seen them return to a more rock and roll roots sound, albeit with modern production. Section 3. Band Members. Geddy Lee, bass guitar, lead vocals, keyboards, mellotron, bass and synthesizer pedals, electric and acoustic rhythm guitar, September 1968 to present. Alex Lifeson, 6 and 12 string acoustic and electric guitars, classical guitar, mandolin, mandola, bouzouki, backing vocals, bass and synthesizer pedals, August 1968 to present. Neil Peart, drums, electronic and acoustic percussion, July 1974 to present. 3.1. Former members. John Rutsey, drums, percussion, backing vocals, August 1968 to July 1974. Jeff Jones, bass, lead vocals, August 1968 to September 1968. For more details on other former band members, see History of Rush, Band Members. Section 4. Reputation. More than 30 years of activity has provided Rush with the opportunity for musical diversity across their discography. As with many bands known for experimentation, such changes have inevitably resulted in dissent among critics and fans. The bulk of the band's music has always included synthetic instruments in some form or another, and this is a great source of contention in the Rush camp, especially the band's heavy reliance on synthesizers and keyboards during the 1980s, particularly on albums Grace Under Pressure, Power Windows, and Hold Your Fire. Still, most fans saw this as nothing less than artistic growth, and support for the band remained unwavering through each transitional phase. The members of Rush have themselves noted that people either hate or love Rush, resulting in strong detractors and an intensely loyal fan base. To the chagrin of fans, the band has not been nominated for entry into the American Rock and Roll Hall of Fame since their year of eligibility in 1998. The Hall's refusal to induct Rush may be a consequence of the band's insistence on remaining outside the mainstream of rock when it comes to self-promotion, in favor of maintaining a high degree of independence. To this day, fans earnestly clamor for the band's inclusion into the Hall by citing noteworthy accomplishments, including longevity, proficiency, and influence, as well as commercial sales figures and RIAA certifications. However, Lifeson has expressed his indifference toward the perceived slight, saying, "I couldn't care less. Look who's up for induction. It's a joke." Rush has gained a degree of recognition in popular culture despite any official recognition from the Hall. As a band, Rush has been nominated for and received various awards throughout its career. Likewise, the individual members have received coverage in various modern music magazines with specific technocratic recognition for instrumental ability. See List of Rush Awards for more details on this topic. 4.1. Geddy Lee. Geddy Lee's high register vocal style has always been a signature of the band, and sometimes a focal point for criticism, especially during the early years of Rush's career when Lee's vocals were high-pitched, with a strong likeness to other singers like Robert Plant of Led Zeppelin. Although his voice has softened over the years, it is often described as a wail. His instrumental abilities, on the other hand, are rarely criticized. An award-winning musician, Lee's style, technique, and ability on the bass guitar have proven influential in the rock and heavy metal genres, inspiring such players as Steve Harris of Iron Maiden, John Young of Dream Theater, Les Claypool of Primus, and Cliff Burton of Metallica, among others. Lee is notable for his ability to operate various pieces of instrumentation simultaneously. This is mostly evident during live shows when Lee must play bass, supply lead vocals, manipulate keyboards, and trigger foot pedals during the course of a performance, as in the song Tom Sawyer. Because of this, he is required to remain in one place during songs containing complex instrumentation. Lifeson and Peart are, to a lesser extent, responsible for similar actions during live shows. Image. Geddy Lee in Concert, 2008. 4.2. Alex Lifeson. Instrumentally, Lifeson is regarded as a guitarist whose strengths and notability rely primarily on signature riffing, electronic effects and processing, unorthodox chord structures, and a copious arsenal of equipment used over the years. Despite his esteem, however, Lifeson is often regarded as being overshadowed by his bandmates due to Lee's onstage multi-instrumental dexterity and Peart's status as a drummer. During his adolescent years, he was influenced primarily by Jimi Hendrix, Pete Townshend, Jeff Beck, Eric Clapton, and Jimmy Page. For versatility, Lifeson was known to incorporate touches of Spanish and classical music into Rush's guitar-driven sound during the 1970s. Taking a back seat to Lee's keyboards in the 1980s, Lifeson's guitar returned to the forefront in the 1990s, and especially on 2002's Vapor Trails. During live performances, he is still responsible for cueing various guitar effects, the use of bass pedal synthesizers, and backing vocals. Image. Alex Lifeson in Concert, 2007. 4.3. Neil Peart. 4.3.1. Music. Peart is commonly regarded by music fans, critics, and fellow musicians as one of the greatest rock drummers. He is also regarded as one of the finest practitioners of the in-concert drum solo. Initially inspired by Keith Moon, Peart absorbed the influence of other rock drummers from the 1960s and 1970s, such as Ginger Baker, Carmine Appice, and John Bonham. Incorporation of unusual instruments for rock drummers of the time, such as cowbells, glockenspiel, and tubular bells, along with several standard kit elements, helped create a highly varied setup. Continually modified to this day, Peart's drum kit offers an enormous array of percussion instruments for sonic diversity. For two decades, Peart honed his technique. Each new Rush album introduced an expanded percussive vocabulary. In the 1990s, he reinvented his style with the help of drum coach Freddie Gruber. 4.3.2 Lyrics. Peart also serves as Rush's primary lyricist, attracting much attention over the years due to his eclectic style. Known for penning concept suites and songs inspired by literature, music fan opinions of his writing have varied greatly, running the gamut from cerebral and insightful to overly pretentious and preachy. During the band's early years, Peart's lyrics were largely fantasy science fiction focused, though since 1980 he has focused more on social, emotional, and humanitarian issues. Peart's lyrics continue to divide audiences today. For example, in 2007 he was placed second on Blender magazine's list of the 40 worst lyricists in rock. Image. Neil Peart in concert, 2007. Section 6. Live performances. The members of Rush share a strong work ethic, desiring to accurately recreate songs from their albums when playing live performances. Toward this goal, beginning in the late 1980s, Rush has included in their concert equipment a capacious rack of digital samplers which the band members use in real time to recreate the sounds of non-traditional instruments, accompaniments, vocal harmonies, and other sound events that are familiarly heard on the studio versions of their songs. In live performances, the band members share duties throughout most songs, with each member triggering certain sounds with his available limbs while playing his primary instrument. Each band member has one or more MIDI controllers that enables him to use his free hands or feet to trigger sounds that have been loaded into the samplers for a particular song. It is with this technology that the group is able to present their arrangements in a live setting with the level of complexity and fidelity that fans have come to expect, and without the need to resort to the use of backing tracks or employing an additional band member. The band members' coordinated use of foot pedal keyboards and other electronic triggers to play sampled instruments and audio events is subtly visible in their live performances, especially so on R30, 30th Anniversary World Tour, their 2005 concert DVD. A staple of Rush's concerts is a Peart drum solo. Peart's drum solos include a basic framework of routines connected by sections of improvisation, making each performance unique. Each successive tour sees the solo more advanced, with some routines dropped in favor of newer, more complex ones. Since the mid-1980s, Peart has used MIDI trigger pads to trigger sounds sampled from various pieces of acoustic percussion that would otherwise consume far too much stage area, such as a marimba, harp, temple blocks, triangles, glockenspiel, orchestra bells, tubular bells, and vibraslap, as well as other more esoteric percussion. Section 7. Philanthropy. Rush actively participates in philanthropic causes. The band was one of a number of hometown favorites to play Molson Canadian Rocks for Toronto, also dubbed Sarstock, at Downsview Park in Toronto on July 30, 2003, with an attendance of over 500,000 people. The concert was intended to benefit the Canadian economy after the SARS outbreaks earlier in the year. The band has also sustained an interest in promoting human rights. They donated $100,000 to the Canadian Museum for Human Rights after a concert they held in Winnipeg on the 24th of May 2008. Rush continues to sell t-shirts and donate the proceeds to the museum. The individual members of Rush have also been part of philanthropic causes. Hughes and Kettner, Zen Therese, and Tri-Amps have been endorsed and used by Lifeson for many years. A custom signature amplifier was engineered by Lifeson and released in April 2005 with the stipulation that UNICEF will receive a donation in the amount of $50 for every Alex Lifeson signature Tri-Amp sold. Lee, a longtime fan of baseball, donated 200 baseballs signed by famous Negro League players, including Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, and Josh Gibson, to the Negro League's Baseball Museum in June 2008. The band is featured on the music album Songs for Tibet, appearing with a number of other celebrities as an initiative to support Tibet and the current Dalai Lama Tenzin Gyatso. The album was made downloadable on August 5th via iTunes and was released commercially August 12th. Section 8. Discography. Main article. Rush Discography. 8.1. Studio albums. Rush, 1974. Fly by Night, 1975. Caress of Steel, 1975. 2112, 1976. A Farewell to Kings, 1977. Hemispheres, 1978. Permanent Waves, 1980. Moving Pictures, 1981. Signals, 1982. Grace Under Pressure, 1984. Power Windows, 1985. Hold Your Fire, 1987. Presto, 1989. Roll the Bones, 1991. Counterparts, 1993. Test for Echo, 1996. Vapor Trails, 2002. Feedback, 2004. Snakes and Arrows, 2007. Sections 9, see also, 10, references, 11, further reading, including books and scholarly articles, and 12, external links, are not a part of this audio recording, but can be accessed by going to www.en.wikipedia.org. This recording was created by the Fuengsta on January 18, 2009. This sound file and all text in the article are licensed under the GNU Free Documentation License, available at www.gnu.org/copyleft/fdl.html.